Sometimes when you read in Scripture about impure spirits, it can be translated as unclean spirits or as evil spirits or even as demons. And so you might be sitting here today thinking, demon possession? Really? Who even talks about that? Well, here's your answer. Scripture talks about that. And it's not just limited to the New Testament. In 1 Samuel, after Saul rebels against God, he's troubled by an evil spirit, which has the apparent effect of causing deep depression in Saul and of having him think hard about a strong desire to kill David. Demon worship is mentioned in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and the Psalms, and all other places just about in the Old Testament. It's also mentioned in several books of the New Testament, particularly in all four of the Gospels. So if you feel a little uncomfortable with this topic, or if you believe that demon possession doesn't exist, you might want to reacquaint yourself with the scriptures that mention it. That being said, today we will be looking at Mark 1, 21 through 28. Now, last week we joined Jesus as he called four disciples to follow him, James and Andrew and Peter and John. And so today we pick up in verse 21 where they have all just left Zebedee sitting in the back of the boat with the hired men. And verse 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue to teach. Now notice, he went to teach, not to preach. He was a rabbi, and rabbis teach. And after that, on verse 22, it says that the people were amazed by his teaching because he taught with authority, not in the way that the teachers of the law taught. Now, verse 23 that I read to you a minute ago says, just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Now, the people in the synagogue that day might not have been able to recognize Jesus, but the demons were sure able to see who Jesus was. And so Jesus sternly told the demon to be quiet and to come out of the man. And the demon shook the man violently, and the man shrieked as the demon left him. Again, the people were amazed. And they looked at each other and they started asking, what is up with this? Is this some kind of new teaching? He teaches like he really knows what he's talking about and like he really believes this stuff. Even the demons obey him. Dang! Can't you just hear it? Well, news of Jesus spread quickly after this. Well, I guess so. I mean, I guess if someone came here possessed by a demon on a Sunday morning, and the demon was called out of him and made all that ruckus, the guys at the feed store would already know every detail of the story before they even got there on Monday morning. Now, most scholars agree that this story is about the authority of Jesus' teaching, and I agree with that as well. The people are amazed that Jesus teaches with authority, not like the teachers of the law. In other words, the teachers of the law spent time telling the people what others had said about God and telling them how they were supposed to think and giving them a rundown of what was right and wrong according to the law. Now, this is only my opinion, but to me, I think it's possible that the teachers of the law spent so much time reading what other people said that they might not have taken the time to listen to what God had to say. It's very easy, you see, to claim your authority based on what someone else says. That makes it very handy to blame them when it turns out you're not right. But in Scripture, we find Jesus saying this often. You have heard it said, or it has been said. But he always follows that up with, but I say, one with authority. He was able to teach with authority because he knew God intimately. He didn't rely on the opinions and thoughts of others to teach the word of God. He didn't have to. He knew who God was. He didn't have to guess what God meant. Now, although this demon possession part of the story can be a distraction from the main point of Jesus' teaching with authority, I do want to look at that as well. I want us to look at that event not as Jesus obliterates a demon, but as Jesus heals a broken man. I think that when we look at it that way, we can find ourselves in the story, because the truth is every single one of us in here, every single one of us in here is broken in some way. Every one of us have been influenced by forces that do not have our best interests in mind. Jesus does have our best interests in mind, and those who take the time to listen and to hear his voice know that to be true. Now, I'm afraid that some of the teachers of the law today have reduced the teachings of Jesus to telling us what we're supposed to believe and how we're supposed to live our lives. There isn't a hint of getting to know God intimately in that kind of teaching. There isn't a hint of getting to know God intimately and knowing who God is. C.S. Lewis, y'all know I love C.S. Lewis, and he was an atheist for more of his life than he wasn't. And he said this. He said, we're not doubting that God will do what is best for us. We're simply wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. You see, that man with a demon didn't come in asking to be healed. He didn't come in saying, do what is best for me. In fact, I would say that in his life, things were going just fine. Thank you very much. It was the demon who spoke, not the man. It was the demon who challenged Jesus' authority in public. And although Jesus challenged the demon, he didn't challenge the demon's authority, because he knew where authority lies, and that is in the hands of God. When faced with a demon who was challenging him, all Jesus said was, be quiet. Come out of him. And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. Now, I'm going to say from personal experience that letting go of things that you have always believed, or letting go of things that the culture teaches us, might indeed produce a shriek. Remember, we're focusing on Jesus' teaching in this passage. It took place in the synagogue among the believers. I mean, we're not looking at some drug addict or pedophile or murderer in this man. Listen to verse 23 again for the third time. Just then, a man from their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out. This wasn't some guy that just fell in the door that day. He wasn't someone that the good folks of Capernaum in the synagogue had taken under their wing. He was a man from their synagogue. And so the point is that even us good church folk can be possessed by demons. And the only way to get those demons to leave the premises is to be amazed by Jesus' teaching and to accept his authority over our lives. Yesterday, we were driving to Austin to go see Steve. And my husband drives a lot. And so he listens to podcasts when he drives. And so Just about every time I get in the truck with him, he goes, "Oh, you got to hear this one." And so yesterday we heard this really great podcast. It was about people who act heroically. Not people who are military or first responders or nurses or EMTs or people who have been trained, but just regular, ordinary people who find themselves in the middle of an emergency and respond even though it is a risk to them. And so they interviewed three different people. There's actually a foundation that keeps track of such heroes. And they picked three, and one particularly stood out for me. It was the story of a man who was standing on the subway platform waiting for the train to come. He had his 6-year-old and 8-year-old daughter with him. And of course, there were other people around. And so that man was standing there waiting for the train, and suddenly a guy next to him started to have a seizure. And so everybody just kind of stopped and looked, and they didn't know what to do with that. And before they knew it, the man with having the seizure had fallen off of the platform and onto the track below. Now, our hero jumped down to try and help this man. And the train was about 200 yards away. And so he was trying to get him to come and trying to pick him up and trying to do everything. You know, you can't get people who are having seizures to be all that cooperative. And the train just continued to come. And finally, when the train, he said, when it was about 10 feet away, he knew all he could do was this. And so he threw himself down on the top of that man and covered his body. And they got as flat as they could get between those two rails as the train barreled over them. And when the train came to a stop, it was silence in that subway station. And that hero said, "We're all right. Tell my daughters their daddy's okay." And everybody on the platform broke into cheers and applause. And so in this interview, they said, "Why did you do such a thing?" And the man said, "Well, I just knew I had to do it. There was a voice that said to me, 'You got this.'" He said, "See, like 15 years ago, I found myself in front of a gun. And that gun was right in my face. And I didn't get killed that day. And I've always known since then God had something for me to do. And so as I stood there watching all of that happen, I just heard this voice say, 'You got this.'" And he said, "So I jumped down and I kept telling myself, 'You got this, you got this.'" He said, "And I know that God was with me that whole time and that I had been saved for this moment and that I would be fine." God says to us, "Be quiet, come out," in so many ways. We look at a demon-possessed man and we think we have nothing in common with someone like that. We think demon possession is something like what we saw in that movie, The Exorcist. Y'all remember that movie? A young girl is possessed by a demon, and they have to have a priest come in. It takes a long time, and finally, the demon leaves, but it's a terrible ordeal. Now, I'm guessing you've probably never known anybody who experienced anything like that. In fact, I'm guessing you've probably never known anybody who knows anybody who's experienced something like that. So I stand here today and I ask you if we can look at a different way to define demon possession. What if we define it this way? As carrying anyone or anything with us that stands in the way of our knowing God personally and intimately. Remember this guy from their synagogue. Not some stranger off the street. Came into the synagogue that day. Business as usual. I'm sure no one expected what happened that day to happen. But you see, when Jesus enters a room, it cannot be business as usual for those who know him. And for those who do know him, life itself cannot ever be business as usual. We cannot afford to be thinking like that. We can't afford to be thinking, I got this. Unless we hear a word from God telling us to take a risk. But to think I got this and to stay comfortable in that, it's not who Jesus calls us to be. We are bombarded daily with thoughts and opinions that are designed to lull us into believing that we got this. We are lulled into believing that as long as we listen to the voices that tell us how to get along in the world and what we should believe, that we got this. Here's a reminder. We follow Jesus, not the world. So what does Jesus tell us to do? What is Jesus calling out of us? What is Jesus telling to be quiet in you and to come out of you? I struggle with this every single day, and it is a struggle. What is Jesus calling out of me? What is Jesus saying? Let that be quiet and hear me instead. We live in a culture that demands certain things of us, and sometimes we find it harder to say no to the culture than we find it to say yes to Jesus. God wants what is best for us, but sometimes, as you well know, the best can be and is painful. So here's some questions for you to think about this week. Here's the first one. Who among us can deny that it is best for us to follow Jesus, the one we proclaim as Lord and Savior over our lives? Who among us can say that we spend time with that same Savior every single day, yearning to know him better? Who among us can say that we don't struggle with the tension between what Jesus demands and what the world demands? Each and every one of us has something that needs to be removed so that we can truly recognize the Holy One of God as he teaches with authority. And so today, may we let go of that which enslaves us so that we might be amazed when we hear what Jesus has to say. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let the people of God say, Amen.